Right, so in the last a couple of months, I've been saying about the gospel. What I'm told to say today about is what the purpose of the church is. So Paul says in Ephesians that the purpose of the church is for the church on earth to glorify God before the angels and demons. So God made people, made the earth, he made angels and demons. God made Satan as Lucifer, as the most beautiful of the archangels. God made three big angels, Gabriel, Michael, and Lucifer. Lucifer was the biggest archangel. When I mean archangel, I mean like massive angel. Lucifer was the most beautiful, he was in charge of the worship. Then one day, Lucifer turned around to God and said, "I'm so beautiful, why don't I get some of the worship?" So God kicked Lucifer out of heaven. When he got kicked out of heaven, he lost all his glory, because you know, he was made of stuff that reflected the glory of God. But outside the presence of God, he just became black. And then he became known as the devil or Satan. A third of the angels in heaven followed Satan in his rebellion against God. They got kicked out of heaven. So that leaves... God made angels as messengers, and they worship God. That's what they spend all the time worshiping God. So that leaves two-thirds of the angels that God made are in heaven. They worship God. And the other third got kicked out of heaven. They don't worship God, but they're set up and they're built as messengers. So angels do God's work in delivering messages to people, and demons they don't follow orders as messengers from God. They follow orders as messengers from Satan. And Satan doesn't send God's messages, he sends his own messages. So demons give nasty messages to people. The way the messages work is that, you know, there's a physical side of stuff, but there's also a spiritual side. And you are, God made you in the image of God, so you've got a body, soul, and spirit. Your soul inhabits your body, so you've got a physical body, but you've got a spiritual soul. Your soul inhabits your body. The center of your soul is called your spirit. And then outside the center of your soul, you've got your mind, you've got your will, and you've got your emotions. So your mind is up what you think. Emotions is how you feel, and then your will is like a muscle that you have to choose to do what to do. So they're like the outside bits of your soul, but your inner bit is your spirit. And because your soul is spiritual, then your mind can hear messages from angels or demons, but when they come in, they look like your own thoughts. So you don't have to hear an audible voice. Anyway, angels stand before God in heaven, and Paul says the purpose of the church is in the earth is to glorify God before the angels. That's the point of the church. So the purpose of the church is to glorify God. That means the purpose of each individual member of the church is to glorify God. But it's not you should glorify God. I'm saying your purpose. The purpose of the church is to glorify God. Your purpose is to glorify God. There's different theories about how you can do that. To become a Christian, all you need to do is believe Christ died for your sins. According to Paul, in the book of Romans, if you believe with your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and you confess it with your mouth, then by that faith, your sins are forgiven. By that faith, God declares you righteous. And what happens to you spiritually when you believe is you have body, soul, and spirit. According to Paul, he said in the Word of God that he'd been given the doctrine for the church. And this is his doctrine for the church. This is what happens in the church. So Paul says, you walk around with body, soul, and spirit, all sinful, all separated from God. If you've sinned, it separates you from God, and God can't touch you because he's holy. If you hear the gospel and you believe that Christ died for your sin, you believe it in your heart and you confess it with your mouth, on the day that you do that, the word of God says that the Holy Spirit gets hold of your spirit, your inside, and baptizes you into Christ. So your spirit that you can't see, but it's the center of you, gets baptized, gets joined, gets made in union with Christ. You get joined with Christ on the inside. And then according to Paul, when Christ died, even though it was 2,000 years ago, when Christ died, your spirit gets joined to him on the cross. So your spirit, when Christ died, you die with Christ. When Christ got raised again, you get raised with Christ. The same way if you put it's £20 notes. Now if you put a paper note in a book and you burn the book, there's no question about what happens to the £20 note. It's burnt. So if you want to know what happens to a £20 note, all you need to know is what happens to the book. You were placed in Christ on the cross. So all you need to know about what happens to your spirit when you believe is just what happened to Christ. So when you believed, your spirit got plugged into Christ. It got joined and made in union with Christ on the cross. Christ died. That's like fact. That's what your whole faith's based on. Christ died. That means your spirit died with Christ. Christ got raised from the dead. Your spirit got raised from the dead. That's how it came about, the phrase, you're born again. How did you born again? You died and you got raised from the dead with Christ. When you got raised from the dead with Christ, your spirit, it was sinful. That sinful spirit died and then it got born again. When it got born again, it got made of a different nature. Your spirit's holy. Your flesh still stays sinful, but your most inside bit is holy. And that's what a Christian is, someone that's baptized into Christ. And they've been born again on the inside. When you die with Christ, when your spirit's plugged into Christ on the cross, he gets your sin. So you get joined with Christ on the cross, he gets what's yours, you get what's his. And that's the, you go to marriage ceremony, that marriage ceremony, a lot of language is a copy of what it says in the Bible about the man and the woman. They consider what people often say, like what's mine's yours, what's yours mine. You got a good deal. Christ got all your sin, that's what he got. You got all his righteousness, that's what you got. That transaction happens when you get joined with Christ. So Christ got your sin on the cross, and then he died. Now Christ didn't sin himself, so the only reason Christ could die was because he had your sin on his account. It says in the word of God, it's appointed a man wants to die and wants to face the judgment. It says in the word of God, the soul that sins shall die. Christ couldn't have died unless he had sin on him. The very fact that Christ died means that he did take upon himself your sin, because he didn't sin himself. So Christ took your sin, you got his righteousness. Because Christ took your sin, he died, he got sent to hell. But God said, this man doesn't deserve to stay in hell because he hasn't sinned. And on that basis, God raised Jesus from the dead. And that's why the word of God says, when God raised Jesus from the dead, he testified to the world that he was the Son of God. Because the very fact that God raised Jesus from the dead, he said, this man does not deserve to be left in hell because he didn't sin. So when God raised Christ from the dead, it was because this man didn't sin. Now, if this man didn't sin and the word of God says all man sinned, that means Jesus Christ was the Son of God. He was God. That's why Paul says, when God raised Jesus from the dead, it was testified to the world that he was the Son of God. That's what happened with Christ. What happened with you is you died with Christ's righteousness on your account. And then when you were dead, God declared you righteous, because it's appointed a man wants to die, you died with Christ. You died with Christ's righteous account on your account. God said, regarding you, this man's righteous because you had Christ's account. So God declared you righteous. That's what justified means. Justified means declared righteous. You got declared righteous by faith. Then you got raised from the dead, born again on the inside. So your inside's holy. Your flesh is still sinful. But God has declared you righteous. And his declaration of you was righteous when he raised you from the dead. There's one extra thing to say. Paul calls it the circumcision of Christ. when you died with Christ, your spirit died, but your flesh didn't. Your flesh stayed sinful. So, in effect, your spirit, the centre of you, died to the rest of you. If the centre of you died to the rest of you, according to Paul, that means the rest of you is not actually you anymore. You've got sinful flesh, you walk around in this sinful vessel, but God does not consider that you to be you anymore. It's called circumcision, in physical circumcision for man. The flesh is cut off and cast away, and it's no longer part of the person. When you died with Christ, your spirit died to your sinful flesh, which means that your sinful flesh is not part of your spirit anymore. So effectively, regarding your spirit, the sense of you, who you are before God, your sinful flesh got cut off and cast away from you. That's, you had a spiritual circumcision, you've got your sinful flesh cut off. I've met a lot of Christians that say they'll be pleased when they die because they won't sin against God anymore and they won't annoy God. But the thing is that when you became a Christian, you died to your sinful flesh. So God declared you to be righteous, and then when you were raised from the dead again, you were cut off from your sinful flesh. So whatever acts of sin are done in your sinful flesh, they're not accredited to your account anymore. That's how you stay righteous. Now that's the truth, right? That's like that is the truth. You stay righteous before God permanently. But like, that's it, you know, that's the whole gospel. You have sinful flesh. Paul said, if he puts his sinful flesh under the law, then sin rises up in him and acts of sin pop out of him. But he says, if I do the things I do not want to do, it's no longer I that sin, but sin in me. So I'm telling you straight, and you either take it straight or not. This is it straight. You got declared righteous by God, and then you got your flesh cut off. According to Paul, you put off the body of sins of the flesh, and you cannot spoil that righteous account anymore. You're righteous when you first believed, and you stay righteous before God, and you cannot blacken that account. Any acts of sin do not get accredited to your account. Your account just stays permanently righteous, and that's it. Therefore, there's nothing that you should do to please God. And that's why Paul said it's for freedom that Christ set you free. That's it, so you're free. So your righteousness, God being pleased with you, that's completely sorted. You don't have to please him regarding your righteousness anymore. Then there's a whole lot of doctrine that Paul gives, the secondary doctrine, that primary doctrine, and that's about what a wise way to walk is. But that's not what a wise way to walk is not to do with your righteousness. Your righteousness is sorted, it's in the bag. You've got the ticket, you're righteous, and its ticket stays on you. And God, you have peace with God, and God is okay with you, and you're righteous before him permanently because you've got that ticket in your pocket, and that ticket never spoils. It's a secondary doctrine to, like, what then is the purpose in your life? Okay, and so there's doctrine about that, which is the main stuff that I'm going to tell you, but I needed to say that for that background first. So Paul said the purpose of the church is to glorify God, right? The primary way that you glorify God, according to Paul, is if you stand upon the righteousness of God, then you glorify God. So you're walking around. So when you first believe, God declared you righteous. You're walking around in your day. Satan goes to you, I saw what you did, you're not righteous. You've got two things to do. You can either go, sorry God about that, I spoiled my righteousness, sorry, I need to clear it, now I'm going to try to be better. Or you can go, I woke up righteous and I'm still righteous and nothing has changed. I have remained righteous right throughout the day. Paul says, offer yourself as an instrument of righteousness to God in Romans. Now, when I first heard it, when somebody taught me about it, offer yourselves as instruments of righteousness to God, it sounds like it means go up to God and try to be righteous. But the righteousness that it talks about is the same righteousness all the way through Romans. And Paul says what that righteousness is in Romans 3. It's a gift of righteousness. So you're meant to go up to God, you're meant to present yourselves as instruments of the gift of righteousness before God. So you're meant to go up to God and do something, offer yourself an instrument of righteousness, but this righteousness is not your righteousness. This righteousness is the gift of righteousness. So what that means is you go up to God and say, God, I'm righteous. I believe what you say. I am righteous. I don't need to do any stuff to be righteous. That's what you're meant to do when Satan comes up to you. He said, I've seen what you did. You're meant to go, God, I'm righteous. I believe you. According to Paul, when you do that, when you believe what your father says about you, are you one of God? A son honors his father if he does what his father tells him to do and he believes what his father says. Paul said, Paul used the word obedience twice. And once in Romans, he said, you were obedient to the gospel. And once in Galatians, where they believed the gospel and then they were trying to keep the law. Paul said, who stopped you from being obedient to the truth? The thing that God requires of a Christian, because you're not a Jew under the law. A Christian's not a Jew. God gave the law to the Jews. You're not a Jew. You're a Christian. The Christians have got a different deal. And what God, for you to be obedient before God, is being obedient to the truth. And the truth is that you're righteous. So you honor your father. When your father says you're righteous and you stay righteous, you honor your father. When Satan cuts in front of you during the day and says, look what you did, you honor your father going, I'm righteous, irrespective of what I do. Now, that's the truth. And it sounds too good to be true. But it is actually true. In Romans 7, Paul says, if a man is married to a woman and he goes off with another woman, then he's an adulterer. Except if... Paul says, if a woman's married to a man and she goes off with another man, she's an adulteress. Except if her husband dies and then she can go off with another man. And Paul says, so it is with you with the law. The law is good and it defines what's good and bad behaviour. But when you died with Christ, you died to the law. So effectively, you were in the world, alive to the world, in which the law was, and the law described what is good and bad behaviour. But when you became a Christian, you died to the law. So effectively, the law, that husband died to you. You are now free to go off with Christ. If you go off with Christ, and when Christ walks past you, says, follow me, you're righteous by your faith, not by what you do. You go off with that other lover, Satan goes, you're an adulteress, like you're leaving the law behind. But Paul says, because you died to the law, effectively the law died to you. You can go off with another lover, that lover is Christ. You're not required to obey the law. You got your righteousness from Christ. That's it. So you honour God by standing up on the righteousness of God, and that just means you don't try to get your own righteousness. You just do not try to get your own righteousness. And there's no ifs or buts with that. There's no exceptions to that. You do not try to get your righteousness. You say, I'm righteous anyway. That's it. That's the primary way, according to the word of God, that a Christian honors God. By being obedient to the Father, be obedient to the truth. So the purpose of the church is to do with, your purpose is to do with identity. So your primary identity is you're a Christian. And a Christian's primary purpose is to honour God by standing upon the righteousness of God. You have a secondary identity. Within being a Christian, you are your own part. So evangelist, teacher, pastor, prophet. All those parts all minister the word of God in their own different ways. So evangelist says the gospel straight. Teacher says more detail about the gospel. Pastor says to somebody about a wise way for that person to walk based on the fact that they're righteous. A prophet and give words, personal to somebody. You're personal to Christian, knowing based upon the fact that they get the righteousness from God. All ministries are word-based, and all ministries are meant to point to Christ. Not just point to Christ, but they point to the righteousness of God. They testify to the righteousness of God. So when you stand upon the primary way you honor God is by standing upon the righteousness of God. The secondary way you honor God in your part is to declare the righteousness of God. That's it. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation to them that believe, to the Jew first and the Greek, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. In the gospel, there's one thing revealed, it's Christ, but the actual essence of what's revealed is the righteousness of God. And the righteousness of God is the righteousness that's for free, that's from God, that can be given to a person for free when they believe. So you honour God by standing upon the righteousness of God. Because when you stand upon the righteousness of God, the angels go, that man. And when you first believe and you trust God for your righteousness, and acknowledge that you can't get your own righteousness. You declare with your mouth that you believe that Christ died for your sin. You trust God for your righteousness before the angels and the demons, and God gets the glory when you believe. Then, the next week, the next year, Satan comes to you to buffet you, hit you, try to take your legs away regarding the original truth. And so God still gets the honor before the angels and demons. They're going, that man is resisting all attempts by Satan to say that he's not righteous, and he's still trusting in God for his righteousness. So you honor God. The primary purpose the church has, individual Christian has, is to glorify God. The primary way you do that is to stand upon the righteousness of God. The secondary way you do that is declare the righteousness of God in your part. Whatever part you are, you declare the righteousness of God. That's it. If you talk anything about Jesus, what is the point you're talking about Jesus? Christ died for sin. Christ died for sin's part of it, but Christ died for sin so that man can be righteous before God. If you have righteousness before God, then you have peace with God and you're straight with God. So the primary way you honor God is to stand upon the righteousness of God. The secondary way you honor God is to declare the righteousness of God. And then the third way, I'm not making up to try to get more stuff, but I've been told to say about this recently. Even if you don't minister or tell anybody about Christ, you still have the Holy Spirit in you, and you still are salt to people that you meet. So you go in a coffee shop, and I'm not talking about Jesus when you don't want to talk about Jesus, but even if you don't say anything and you just sit down, you still have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit bears in you the fruit of peace, joy, love, and it just comes out of you. So you don't even say anything. You can just be, people like being around you. The purpose of salt in the days that it was written, when Jesus said, you're the salt of the earth. The purpose of salt was to stop meat going off. You can stop people's lives going off around you without even saying anything about Christ, just being next to them. So you can meet somebody and the faith factor, you'll listen to them and give them love for free when they don't deserve it. They go, this person thinks something of me and I might have worth when I thought I had no worth. And then that stops them, taking drugs on the evening. Like, you could just stop people's lives from going off. So you have that purpose as well. And that glorifies God. And the reason it glorifies God is the only reason you have the Holy Spirit is because you're righteous. God only lands on somebody that's righteous. You have the Holy Spirit because you're righteous. And the faith fact that the Spirit in you are coming out of you that people can see, it testifies that you're righteous, and it testifies about the righteousness of God. So that's what I'm saying is, the purpose of the church is to glorify God. Your purpose, your primary purpose is to glorify God through standing upon the righteousness of God. Your secondary purpose is your ministry, which declares the righteousness of God in its own way. And the third purpose is being salt, and you do that all the time. And that is just the Holy Spirit stuff flows out of you, and you stop people's lives from going off. And it's because they know that something's changed about you. It's because you've been made righteous before God, and it testifies to the righteousness of God in itself. Right, and that's it, I think.